Good morning. This is the second week in a row in Romans 6 as we've been working through Romans. I want you to remember that God is making sure that we're have a chance at, by being unified through Paul. So remember that there was all these different ways that people said that coming to Christianity was, right, you had to come through this or you had to come through that. And he said, no, none of those are the way you come this way. So that's Romans 1 and 2. And then 3 and 4, once you've come to Christ, they were making divisions amongst the body by, you have to obey the Jewish way or no, you can't do that. And Paul is removing all those barriers there. Then you have this unified God idea that one in Christ that we're unified, but Romans 6 starts talking about you yourself, that you're not a double-minded person, right? That you don't come and say, well, sin is the way that God blessed me with his grace, so now I should sin more. No, may it never be, remember, and I stamp my foot. Today, we're going to do more of that. We're going to do more of that work about being aware and being a unified individual and not double-minded. But my question starts off this way, very first thing. Fastest way to Spokane. This morning, Becky said fly by a plane. Okay, but in a car. Fastest way to Spokane in a car. Somebody says 395. But what if I, in my own sort of headstrongness, decide that I want to leave Colville west on Highway 20 to get to Spokane? Well, A, it's not how you get to Spokane, and B, if you do get to Spokane that way, it's a long way out of the way. So it's not the right sort of thing, but the direction we walk, the way that we walk, the manner that we walk in Christianity is about picking the right road, if you will. Let me read the text. This is Romans 6, 15 and following. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Stamp your right, remember. Of course not, it's not strong enough. May it never be. Don't you realize that you become a slave to whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. It's only because of your weakness of your human nature that I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all of this, actually. Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led ever deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living, so that you will become holy. When you are slaves to sin, you are free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Throughout the Bible, one of the primary things that it talks about is that the walk that we have, the way we live is described as a walk. The language is peripateo. That's the verb for walking around. We get parapet, the way you walk around a castle or a keep that keeps you on the path, right? But there are three types of paths to follow on earth. There's really just three of them, really. So the first one is nihilism or nihilism, depending on how you learn how to say it. The sin path, right? The path of least resistance. We're going to do what seems right to us. Proverbs 16, there's a way that seems right to a man that ends in death. All day, every day, for tomorrow we die, right? This is what the Bible's talking about here, that you can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you thank God once you are slaves and you wholeheartedly obey this teaching. But then it uses this language down here that you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, which led deeper and deeper into sin. Now you must give yourselves this other way. You don't want to be in or on the road, to be on the wrong road, right? That I know this is a stunning understanding here, but the road to the destination you want has to be chosen from another road or amongst the roads. You must look at the destination when you look at your road, when you choose the road you're on. And so if you want to be a nihilist, then you choose this path and you just, you don't care about anything but yourself. But that's one of the ways, or as Paul says, slaves to sin. Now, and then you only become slaves to sin and you become ashamed of the type of life you live, and the result is eternal doom, right? What was the result? Now you are only ashamed of the things you used to do, and the things that you used to do end in eternal doom. But now, okay, so what's the second path? The third path over here is the path of grace. But a lot of people, I think you could be very certain to say and to know that nihilism isn't the only path the world chooses, that there are paths, rigorous paths of law, like Stoicism or something like that, where you intellectually decide you're going to do something. But Stoicism, sort of a stiff upper lip, pull yourself by the bootstraps thing, I'm going to fake it till I make it. I'm going to make my life conform. I'm going to beat myself into submission, and then I will free myself from the problems of the world. As Epictetus says, how long will you wait before you demand the best for yourself? But the idea of this law path of this thing is that by keeping yourself on this path, that you'll beat yourself into this pathway, and by that path, you will then be saved or something like that, that you will hall monitor yourself and everybody around you too into this path. It's sort of like the way most of our people choose Buddhism. They just sort of select the teachings and then decide to live by those teachings. And by holding themselves accountable to those teachings, they think then life is good. But that's not what Buddhism says. Buddhism says that by doing that, you will then earn a better life on the next time around. And if you are good in that life, you will earn a better life the time around. And if you do that for long enough and for enough lives, you will reach enlightenment. That's why they don't necessarily help the poor. They help the poor because it's right for them to do, but they don't help the poor in order to help the poor. The poor are down there, or the poor or the homeless and all that are living that life because they deserve that life. They didn't live it right the first time. But that's the second path. So the first path is the sin path. We don't care about anybody else. And by the way, as you can see, the law path, the non-Christ-centered path of law is really that you don't really care about anybody else, and it's all about achievement and all that stuff anyway. So really, they're the same mistake in the opposite direction. The third path is the heart of the covenant path, no longer written outside of us on stone, right? The laws outside on stone only create the hall monitor type of life. But when it's written on our heart and he calls us into this deeper life where he is ours and we are his and he is ours, and it goes around and around like that, that the work of the Spirit in us is to lead us into all understanding. Now, I need to say this very quickly, specifically, that many denominations will say that the work of the Spirit is really about sensations and tingles and thrill rides and all those things. And yes, following the work of the Spirit is those things. It can be exciting. It can have the goosebumps on your arms stand up and your hair stand up, and it can be that stuff. But that is not the primary work of the Spirit. The primary work of the Spirit is to lead you and walk in you and lead you into a life that is fitting for the kingdom of God, that you would do this. And so let me explain, let me give you a couple examples of how the Holy Spirit works, that you've been living your life in a certain way, and then suddenly, somewhere along the line, you realize that some habit that you've been doing and not even thinking about, you realize, you know what? That habit isn't any good. It's doing damage over here. I should stop. And the Spirit leads you into a place where you can stop doing a behavior, or it leads you into a spot where you start new habits to replace old habits. And it does that very sort of gently. The Spirit leads us into all understanding. And that's the primary ministry of the Spirit, not the sharp electric shock up the spine, tingly sort of stuff. I'm not saying that stuff doesn't happen. I'm just saying that that's not the way it is. And so let me ask you, if you've ever gotten to the spot where you just keep falling in love with Jesus, and then pretty soon you keep changing your life, and pretty soon you have a completely different life, and you're not ashamed of it. Even the changes that you led, you go, oh, well, I used to do that, but then I realized it wasn't any good, and so I stopped. And the Spirit of God continues to work inside you. And it doesn't even have to be something dramatic, but it can be very dramatic. It does lots of those things. I've made no secret of that I used to do a lot of stuff that I'm ashamed of, but I was a slave to sin. Now, as a follower of Christ, he says this in a language, he only uses the slave language because of our human problems of understanding this thing, because of the weakness of your human nature. I'm only using this illustration. But see, that becoming a slave to God isn't really that, because Jesus says that I no longer call you slaves, but I call you friends and brothers, because I'm telling you what I'm doing. Look, he's going to lead you into all righteousness. This is the way that he does it. Now that you understand that, let me read Romans 7, 1 to 6 again, so that you understand what's going on. Now, dear brothers and sisters, you who are familiar with the law, don't you know that the law only applies while a person is living? For example, when a woman marries, now you understand this, that this is not just about women in this thing. This is about a person that marries. But a woman, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is alive. We are bound to sin as long as we are alive to sin, or that sin is alive in us. But if he dies, if sin dies, the laws of marriage no longer apply to the spouse. So while her husband is alive, she would be committing adultery if she married another man. While sin is alive in us, if we commit ourselves to God, we would be committing adultery. But coming to Christ is literally, but if her husband dies, if sin dies to us, or we die to sin, we are free from the law and don't commit adultery when we follow another, or when we come to Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. And now you're united with the one who has been raised from the dead. And as a result, you can bring forth a harvest of good works. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring forth a harvest of good deeds for God. When we were controlled by the old nature, sinful desires were at work within us, and the law aroused these evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds, resulting in death. But now we have been released from the law, for we have died to it and are no longer captive to its power. And its power was the fear of death. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, there it is, that third path, that second path, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. Here, let me give you an idea. You understand this, that this image here is about dying with Christ, that that's what the picture of baptism is and all that stuff, that we die with Christ. So what I want you to imagine doing is picking up your right foot and starting to think about the path of following Christ that you want to be on. Once you pick up your right foot, you get your right foot up and you're thinking about that path. And now I want you to think about putting your foot on that path. And once you've got your foot on the path, you got your foot there? Good. Now pick up your left foot and put it in front on that same path. If you're on the wrong path, let's say, for instance, if I've decided to go to Spokane by going west towards Republic on Highway 20, and I realize I'm on the wrong path, what I have to do right then is at the first available moment, I make a three-point turn, right? I go and back the other way. Otherwise, I go too far down the road and chance losing my way again. This is what we do in the body of Christ. We need to take the step and put one foot in front of the other and live our life as a new way of living in the Spirit. Not the letter of the law, but by the heart of the law, by loving the Lord our God and listening to His Spirit who He puts inside us. And you get that Spirit inside you by admitting that you cannot do it on your own, the law path, or that you're on the way and on the way to a place you don't want to go and you need help. You cannot get off those first two paths by yourself. Those are the only two paths that there is. There's the non-caring path or the over-caring path of legalism. Those are the paths people on. You may say, well, I'm not really on one of those. Yeah, you are. If you're not in Christ, you're on one of those to some degree. And the only way to get off it is to do a three-point turn. We call that repentance. We say, oops, going the wrong way. Need your help, Lord. Turn around and go back the way you came and get on the right road. Go back and get on the right road. We pick up our right foot and we put it on the path. We pick up our left foot and put it in front of us on the right path. This is the way to righteousness. One step at a time, living your life. It doesn't seem like it's like that, but that's what it is. Covenant membership followed along the way. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, today, I ask specifically that we would have the strength to step by step on the right path, that if we'd recognize that we're on the wrong path, we'd recognize that in us, the path we're on leads to a destination, and that we can pick our paths by the destination with your help. We didn't have any choice before, but now we do in you. Thank you, Lord. Amen.